Well, my dad had started naval aviator flight training, and he soon found out he had an inner ear problem when he got sick as a dog in the air. So they decided to put him on a destroyer. And that didn't help much either. He can't remember if he lost 22 pounds in 25 days or 25 pounds in 22 days, but he was sick. And it was so bad, eventually at sea, transferred him to a carrier, or from there airlifted him to a hospital, and he eventually made his way to Germany. Well, he was an ensign, the lowest ranking Navy officer, and the clerk at the Army hospital didn't know what an ensign was, so he figured it must be high. So he got put in a room with an Army lieutenant colonel, and I think the assistant ambassador to Cameroon. And anyway, well, here's this young guy, about 23, and he's no longer on the ship, and he's getting fed good food, and he's soon feeling back to his old self, though he's still skinny as a rail. Well, he got talking with these two guys and decided one day the orderly came in and asked for Lieutenant Colonel or Colonel so-and-so, and the dad raised his hand, and they took him down, and he got his leg x-rayed, and he got back to the room, and they thought that was the funniest thing ever. Ha, 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 we fooled them. Well, the next day, an orderly came and, oh, we're here for the ambassador. Okay, so dad hopped on the gurney and went down there. But when they got to the procedure room, they said, okay, you ready for your colonoscopy? Dad spoke up. You got the wrong guy. The joke was over. It was no longer funny because he wasn't going to put up with that. Well, eventually he got sent home and fattened up with grandma, and he was told to check in with the Navy office in 6 weeks, and so he did, and he worked, and so how are you doing, ensign, and do you need more time? Oh, yeah, so he went home and got paid for 6 more weeks to work on the car, but eventually he ended up on a station on an island, and that was much, much better. But have you ever felt like you're in a situation where you are they got the wrong guy or the wrong gal? Like, how did I end up in this situation? Whoa, this is too much. I can't handle it. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe suddenly you find yourself caring for a loved one. Maybe it's a ministry assignment that you feel like the Lord's just making clear he wants you to take on, and you're like, God, you got the wrong guy. I can't do this. I'm just not smart enough, talented enough. I don't have the energy. I'm old, whatever the case may be. And maybe you're just feeling like it is impossible. Well, I kind of got good news for you today. The Lord does that a lot, but when we're weak and willing, he is strong, and he steps in and is there to help us. We're going to continue our overview through the Old Testament, and I have to admit, we're in Jeremiah, and we've been taking one Old Testament book a week. This one is only 52 chapters long, but it's a lot longer than Isaiah if you've read it, and I have to admit, it's like, Lord, how do I do this? I was feeling like, Lord, I can't do this. And this is you know how many hours it takes to read Jeremiah, let alone figure out what you're going to do with it? It takes a long time. And I kind of had these conversations with God this week. And of course, he keeps telling me, well, when you're weak and if you're willing, I'll be strong. I'll help you out. But I go back and forth. But you know, Jeremiah realized he was weak and he realized he was not up to the task. And God had an amazingly difficult task for him. But God would prove himself strong, and God was going to show him, yes, Jeremiah, when you're weak, I will take care of you. Well, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, and he is a very interesting guy. He did not talk a ton about the Messiah like Isaiah did. He wasn't really mystical, having all kinds of visions like Ezekiel. He wasn't super successful. I know Jonah ran away, but boy, when he got to Nineveh finally and preached, the whole city repented. But I got to tell you, Jeremiah was probably one of the most courageous. The stuff he went through was amazing. He was also called the weeping prophet because he was a very emotional, kind-hearted man who loved God and loved his nation. And what he was told to say and how the people responded absolutely broke his heart. In a couple of weeks, we'll be looking at Lamentations, and it's all about his cries. Oh, Lord, the land has been destroyed. He had a long ministry. He was a prophet from like 627 to 586 at least, probably even longer, over 40 years. His name means the Lord exalts or the Lord founds. But you know what? He was not just this ancient weirdo He was a real flesh and blood guy who actually really cared, who lived, who communicated, who felt the impact of his words. He wasn't like one of those guys who just goes, "You're judged." He felt it, and he didn't want that to happen. He, if you look at the first 45 chapters of Jeremiah, it is gloom and doom and judgment against the nation of Judah. Israel, 100 years before, had been hauled off into exile, but God was still patient. He was saying, judgment's coming, people. Respond to me, return to me, repent. But they weren't doing it. But Jeremiah is not all that. He also will speak about the covenant. In Jeremiah, in 30 to 33, he says, guess what, God, because you guys can't do it right, with laws written on stone, someday God's going to put the covenant on your heart. And we know eventually the new covenant was fully came to being with Jesus, and Jesus changes our heart, and now the Holy Spirit comes in. But God, or Jeremiah, did love the people, and so did God. But he had a hard job. And and as I wrestled with, where do we go? Do we talk about judgment? Do we talk about the covenant? I sought some wisdom. And when you want to know how to fix the world, you go down to Shai's and have coffee. I hear they solve the world's problems at Max and it feels frosty too. But anyway, no one listens even if they got the answers. But I picked the ladies' brains at Shai's, so it's partially their fault. No, it's not at all. But it's like, what do you do with this massive book? And then I wrestle hard. I said, Lord, what do you want the people to hear? In a really sense that he wanted us to stick around in just chapter one. So we're not going to skim super far, but hopefully you will be encouraged, because the Lord does have tough tasks for all of us at different times. But when you're weak and willing, he is strong. So let me pray, and then we're going to jump into Jeremiah chapter 1. Lord, as we look into your word, I want to pray that you would teach us. I want to thank you, Lord, for Jeremiah, who was faithful, even though it was difficult. Lord, we need that reminder. We need to look to you like he did. And I thank you, Father, that you know everything about us. You know what we're going through, and you know what your word needs to do in our hearts and lives today. I pray, God, we'd find courage, we'd find challenge, and that, Lord, that you would speak this day. Help us to be open to you. In your name I pray, amen. Well, let's start in chapter 1, verses 1. The word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anahoth in the land of Benjamin. Interesting place to start. This little town was just a couple miles away from Jerusalem. It was a small community of priests. And so Jeremiah grew up in a priestly family. Maybe he was a priest. I don't think he quite was, because he was a really young guy when he came to office. I think priests had to start when they were 30, and he was younger than that. But it was in his lineage. And he grew up near the temple, hearing about all that was supposed to go on at the temple and knowing what wasn't going on. He was in the land of Benjamin, in verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon. Josiah was the last of the good kings of Judah. If we review our history, after the kingdom of Israel was broken in half, after Solomon's reign, you had the nation of Israel, and they had 20 out of 20 kings were evil. In Judah, where Jerusalem was, 12 out of 20 were evil. Josiah was the last good one. He'd come to the throne at the ripe old age of 8. I think by the time he was 16, the Lord got hold of his heart. By the time he was 20, he got rid of idolatrous worship. At age 25, he said, we got to fix up the temple, dust it off. They found the word of the Lord. And he began to read the word of the Lord and said, we got to get right with God. Interestingly enough, in 2 Kings, it mentions a guy named Hilkiah, a priest. That may or may not have been Jeremiah's dad. But after Hezekiah, and Jeremiah started his role as a prophet during Josiah's reign, there were three more kings, and they were bad news. As much as Jeremiah would say, turn to the Lord, repent of your ways, don't trust Egypt, turn to God, they would go their own way, and they led the nation to its downfall. Well, we read that it was days of Josiah, son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign, and I think Josiah was on the throne for 30 years or more. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. Jeremiah came of age in a very difficult time. the Syrians had swept through and captured the kingdom of Israel 100 years earlier, and Assyria was always going to battle for the rest of the near Middle East. And Egypt, meanwhile, was on its last breath, and they were fighting, and then Babylon was being raised up at the same time. So Israel's like this little pawn with all these mighty kingdoms fighting around them. And how are they going to hang on? They're the people of God. They have a special covenant with God. They have a relationship with him. And yet, the only one being faithful is God. And so Jeremiah grows up. The people are doing wicked. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And the word of the Lord comes to him in a tough spot. Life these days is challenging and tough. I know, you look around, you read the paper, and you go, egads, what's going on? I think it's a message for today as well. But we read in verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me. That had to be exciting. That had to be scary too. Because he was a priest, and you want to be communicating with God if you're a priest. But the word of the Lord specifically came to him, and this is what he told him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God says, Jeremiah, I know everything about you. I know your personality. I know how strong or weak you are physically. I know what your family's like. I know economically how you are. I know you're prone to go up and down emotionally. I know everything about you. God knows everything about you as well. Psalm 139, he created your inmost being. He knew you in your mother's womb. Before one of your days came to be, he knew what it was going to be. Before you spoke a single word, he knew what it was going to be. The same God of Jeremiah, the same God of the fullness is the same God of you. He knows what you are made of. He knows your DNA. He created it. He knows what you're capable of, what you're not capable of. He knows which ways you're tempted and which ways you're not. He knows you completely. Even while you're in the womb, God knows. It's not just a blob. It's a baby in there. Its life is precious, and it starts at the moment of conception. It is really important to God. And we better not play around, because God says, I knew you in the womb, and he knew you in the womb. He knows everybody there. But he says, before you were born, I consecrated you. Consecrate is a fancy word for set apart. Basically, I gave you a job. God, he knows you because he created you and he consecrated you. He said, Jeremiah, I've got a job for you. Isn't that a wild thought? I mean, he wasn't the only one that God had set apart in the womb. Think about John the Baptist. He was told he'd go on in the power and spirit of Elijah. He would turn people to God and many would go away and he'd prepare them for the Lord. And this was in the womb. And later even Paul, he realized in Galatians, God who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, he knew Jeremiah inwardly, and he knew the task he was going to give him. He knew Jeremiah was not going to be up for it, so he was going to have to help him. But as he set him apart, he said, you're going to have a tough task, and this is what I'm calling you to do. You are going to be a prophet to the nations. Now, I've heard some people these days say, oh, man, I want to be a prophet. That'd be great. Well, if they read the book of Jeremiah, they're going to go, no way, and they're going to run the opposite direction because he went through hard stuff. It was not a popular job. It was a deadly job. Everyone was out to get him, but he was called to be a prophet, one to speak God's word to the nations. The words of God to the nation at this time were not, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. It's like, you get right with God or he's going to crunch you like a bug. He's going to destroy you. Return to him now. Turn away from your sin. Well, I don't know about you, but when you interact with your neighbors, when you walk up to them and say, hi, brother, repent, they don't like that. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. So am I, and so was I, and now I'm new in Christ, and so on and so forth. But you need to get right with God. That's not a popular message. Try it at Shady Cove Market. Remember, this is the people of God, and there's a lot of religiosity, and they're thinking they're wonderful, but listen to God, no way. But from this point on, Jeremiah's job was going to be to tell them to get right with God or else. Whoa, that's rough. That may not be your job exactly, not in that exact way, but God has called you from the beginning of time. Ephesians 1 says, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Is that amazing? Before you were even in the womb, he called you, he chose you. In love, he predestined you to be adopted as his child. That is good news. God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all together thinking about how to create the world. And they go, oh yeah, I got Kenny in mind and Jane, and then there's Christy and Kim, and they're going to be my kids. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to get this rolling. And that's what he says about you as well. And we're told, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of witnesses in 1 Timothy. God was choosing Jeremiah for a very difficult task. You have difficult tasks ahead as well. But when you are weak, if you're willing, he is strong. Jesus said, John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go bear fruit. But if you're a child of God, you've been chosen by God. That can be scary. That can be absolutely awesome. Because the one who chooses you has the authority and the power and the sovereignty to get done what needs to happen. Be encouraged. But Jeremiah also was a little shaken in his boots. He's like, whoa, a prophet. I'm not sure I want this job, because he had been hearing about prophets for the last 100, 200, 300, 400, however many hundred years, and it hadn't been going real well. So this is what he said in verse 6. Then I said, ah, Lord God, that's a good place to start. Behold, I don't know how to speak. I am only a youth. Now, I don't think he was complaining quite like Moses. Hey, I can't do it, God. No. Call Aaron, choose somebody else. But I think what he was saying is, I'm a young guy. I'm in my teens. I'm in my 20s. What do you want? You want me to go speak before kings? You want me to go speak before the religious people? You want me to speak to anybody? Who's going to listen? I can't do it. I got to admit, there's times I felt that way myself. You want me to do what? Be a missionary? Be a pastor? Work in a nursery? There are some difficult things. Take care of a loved one? Those are hard. But God is saying to Jeremiah, listen, you're my man. I created you. I know you. I consecrated. I called you. And I'm the one that's doing this. And that's what he's saying to you as well. But here's what the Lord says to him. Don't say, I'm only a youth. In a sense, quit your sniveling. Stop your excuses. Because I made you to do the task I want you to do. And that is true as well. You are saved by grace through faith. And then God says, you're my workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. He created you to do some things. And he gives you the spiritual gifts. He gives you the ability. He gives you the time. Okay, and God says, don't say I'm only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go. You're going to go where I send you, Jeremiah. Don't send me to Africa. Off you go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. But here's what God promises in verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be and with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. God did not tell Jeremiah exactly what he was going to deliver him from at this point. Because had that happened, he would have been like Jonah and ran away probably. Because he did not know he was going to get thrown in stocks. He was going to get thrown in jail. He was going to have multiple death threats. He wasn't going to be able to get married. All his friends, his so-called friends, were going to betray him. He'd be thrown in a well. He would be nonstop having people say, we are going to kill you. He's threatened with death more times than you can almost count in this book. People will not listen to him. You're a liar, you're betrayed, you're not speaking God's word. They would come after him like crazy. In fact, he would have this ministry for over 40 years. It could have been 50 years, and not a single person would listen. That would be difficult. But God said, don't be afraid, I am with you. God said that to so many people. He said that to Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua, to Peter, to Paul. He says that to you. Look how many times in the word, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Aren't you glad when he gives a good task? Yes, you're weak, but God knows that. And if you are willing, the strong one can help you out. I'm going to deliver you. Don't be afraid of them. The kings, the emperors, the religious leaders, your neighbors, everybody, I'm going to be with you. And that is good to know. God not only knows you, but he's with you. He'll never leave or forsake you. When you have been given a tough task, and it will look different than Jeremiah's, of course, but he will be with you. And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. It wasn't like one of these. It was one of these. And the Lord said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. Phew. The apostles were told, when you stand before kings, I will give you the words. God didn't just go, here it is. He gave them to them.
He was good.
He said, you've got a tough task. People are going to come against you, but I will help you. God can give you the words if you're willing. I don't know what to say, God. Well, trust me and step out in faith. The Jordan River didn't stop flowing until the priest got wet. And the same sometimes for us. I put my words in your mouth. He says, see, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. If you're a late teenager, in your early 20s, and God says, I'm going to set you over nations and kingdoms, that would be freaky. Unless God has said, I have called you, you can do this, I will be with you, I will strengthen you, I will give you the ability to do that. He gives us spiritual gifts to build up the body. He gives us his Holy Spirit to supernaturally help us to do what he wants us to do. Even when it's scary, hard, difficult, our knees are creaky, or whatever, he can do it. And he says, I've called you to pluck up and break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. Who wants the job of destroying and breaking down, destroying and overthrowing? Not like this. He's going to go before kings and powerful people and say, you need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. Stop doing this. And they're going to say, beat it. In fact, beat him is what they're going to say. Let's get him. But God's warning him ahead of time. Now, I have a feeling, had God warned me completely what I was in for when I went to Cambodia, I'm not getting on that plane. You know, I didn't realize I'd be bloodied, burgled, broken, bent, bounced, you name it. I was. Broken legs, diseases. There were times I said, Lord, as I was laying in bed, I didn't sign up for this. It's like, well, good thing I didn't tell you ahead of time. You know, same for Paul. I mean, Paul was told, I will show this man how much he will suffer for my name when he was called. But I don't think he anticipated that many shipwrecks, that many beatings, that many floggings. I mean, the guy had no teeth left in his head after getting hit with that many rocks. But he still proclaimed God's word faithfully. And Jeremiah did this as well. They would beat the tar out of him, and he kept going. He said, but also to build and to plant. Boy, if you got a garden, you got to break the soil up before you can put the seeds in. And God had a difficult task for him, one that no one in their right mind would have taken on. But God knew, Jeremiah. God said, I'm going to be with you. And God said, I'm going to help you with this. And the Lord came to him and said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see an almond branch. And there's kind of a play on words. Almond sounds like the Hebrew for seed. And God basically, and the almond tree was the first one to bud. And so it would be like the one announcing spring. But Jeremiah was in tune with God, and when he gave him this vision, he could see what it was. Then the Lord said in verse 12, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word, perform it. What I've said and what I want you to tell people is what's going to happen. Don't you worry about it. When you get up there, you're not just going to go, I think this is what God said. No, I'm going to give you the words. You say them. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And he said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said in verse 14, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. This was not a good sign. Babylon was from the east, but it was going to come down north and crunch them. And that boiling pot was headed their way. Judah was not going to stand because they would not repent. Though Jeremiah is going to find that when that flood, that boiling pot came around, God was going to make a flood and it was going to go around him. Jeremiah would be protected. And said in verse 15, for behold, I'm calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, they shall come. Everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls, all around, and against the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them for their evil and forsaking me. Why is God so mean? He's not mean. He's given them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and dozens and dozens and dozens of opportunities to repent and come to him, just like he gave the Canaanites. They had 400 years to turn to God. Well, what are they doing? He says, they make offerings to other gods. They worship the work of their hands. They would sacrifice their own children. They set up idols in the temple itself. They were unjust. They were oppressing the poor. They were ignoring God. They were looking out for themselves. And boy, anytime you mess with worship to the one true God, you're in trouble. And that's what they were doing. And then Jeremiah's given the challenge, he says in verse 17. But you, when God says you, perk up your ears and listen. It's going to be a different task, but be willing to do it because he's got good in store. But he says, you, dress yourself for work. Get on your uniform, gird up your loins, arise, and say to them everything I command you. Jeremiah did that. He was faithful in that task for more than 40 years, even when people didn't listen. He said, don't be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. He says, don't turn away. Don't be afraid of people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I will be with you. I will save you. This was a big task. Now, truth be told, Jeremiah was beat down. He was oppressed. He was hated. He was probably spit upon, and he didn't always stand strong. Jeremiah was a very emotional guy, and there were a lot of times he cried out to God. He'd say things like, woe to me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. He said, if I speak, I'm terribly persecuted. It's as if my heart's burning on fire. I can't hold it in. He said, curse the day of my birth. I wishing his mother was dead so he didn't show up. He got depressed. He struggled, but he continued faithfully going. He talked about, oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. He wasn't just glibly saying, y'all are going to perish if you don't get right with God, ha, ha, ha. He was crying as he said it, turn to God, turn to God, turn to God. And he struggled. He didn't like being beat up. Oh, good, I'm sacrificing, being persecuted for Jesus. Ow. No, he hated it. And he struggled emotionally, but he continued to press on. When you struggle, when you're like, God, I'm not sure about this. This hurts. I don't like it. I can't do it. I feel scared. I feel ashamed. I feel inadequate. I can't. He understands. He knows. And Jeremiah had those feelings too. And he expressed them multiple times. Oh, my comfort and sorrow, my heart's fate within me. He would say this over and over. He complained to God, but God listened. And God knew exactly that that's how he was going to respond at times because he'd made him. He called him. He consecrated him. And that's why God said, I'm with you. But he said, don't be dismayed by them, lest I be dismayed before you. And then in 18 and 19, he says, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah, during this conversation, was probably going, God, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong guy. And God was saying, I got the wrong guy. You're weak, but if you're willing, I am strong. You are going to come against and speak in front of everyone, Jeremiah. By the way, God didn't mention this then, but they're not going to listen. But he says, I will make you strong. When I am weak, then I'm strong. I will be with you. They will not prevail. This is good news. The task God has laid before you, whatever form it is difficult. It is designed that way. If it is easy, you don't have to trust in him. But when it's beyond your ability to bear, like Paul went through, then God is glorified. I think of 2 Corinthians 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. When Paul was going through things saying, man, we are having a struggle here in Asia, at the end he said, on him we've set our hope that he will deliver us. It's God, when God gives you a task, when he makes an ask, he will help you. He's not going to call you to do something that can't be done. Your task is different than Jeremiah's, but what is it? What is he calling you to? Galatians tells us, let's not be weary in doing good. But at the proper time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Paul was also told by God, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God would use Jeremiah. Jeremiah finished well. From an outward perspective, he was not successful. The nation didn't listen to God, and they were hauled off into exile, and Jerusalem was absolutely destroyed. But even though he went up and down sometimes, he clung to God. Whatever you're going through, cling to God. He knew when he made you what was going to come down the pipe. He knew the things you could handle and things you can't handle. He wants you to turn to him. When you're weak, if you're willing, he's strong. He is all sufficient. I'm encouraged that Jeremiah kept on trucking. Let's encourage one another to love and good deeds, to keep on going. The days may be difficult, the task may be huge, but our God is no less strong. He will be with you. He knows your frame. You are the right guy. You are the right gal. He knows what he's doing. We can trust him. Lord God, I want to thank you for Jeremiah. I want to thank you for your word, which still speaks. When you bring difficult things our way, help us to cling to you. We thank you that when we're weak, and we are weak, you are strong. And Lord, it's about giving glory to you. Lord, the nation didn't turn back to you at that time, but the nation will on someday. And thank you, Lord, for the new covenant which you gave us. And Jesus came, and now all of us can be part of your great kingdom. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.